the heart of Yeravam, which has really been our focus. And tonight I titled this year the hand of Yeravam, because Yeravam's hand is actually very elemental to the psukim, but there's much symbolism in the hand of Yeravam, as we shall see, and that goes back to the earliest appearance of Yeravam in Tanakh, as the pasuk says, "Vayarim yad b'melech Shlomo," that he was meirim yad, that he lifted up his hand in righteous indignation against Shlomo's excesses, especially as they related to Bas Paro. But that hand, which was once in some sense a symbol of rectitude, if to some degree overzealousness, as we know, he was punished for the fact that he rebuked Shlomo publicly, but it stood for something. That very hand becomes a different kind of a symbol, as we shall see tonight. So again, we had left, we wouldn't say our hero, our anti-hero, Yeravam, and the Ish Mashchis himself, as Chazal referred him, the destructive man, the Machtias Harabim, the great stumbling block of the Jewish people. We left him literally with his hand extended over the Mizbeach. So let us have a look here. Effie, can I get the thumbs up? Is it okay? Vayas Yeravam Chag b'Chodesh Hashmini b'Chamisha Asar Yom l'Chodesh k'Chag Asher b'Yehuda. Vayal al Mizbeach Kein Asa b'Veis El l'Zabeach l'Galim Asher Asa. He ascends the Mizbeach himself. Remember, the Kohanim have been deposed and displaced. V'Hamid b'Veis El as Kohanei Abamos Asher Asa. Vayal al Mizbeach Asher Asa. He himself ascends to offer. Bachamisha asar yom bachodesh hashmini, bachodesh asher badalibo, vayas chag libnei Yisrael, vayaal al hamizbeach lehaktir, and he ascends the mizbeach to offer a ketores. Now, Effie, this one's got your name truly written all over it, I have to say. So when we think about somebody offering a ketores, you know, as if to justify themselves, as if to vindicate their own status, what is our first association, no doubt?
Korach.
Yeah.
Korach, yeah.
Absolutely, right? So the Korach association, where the ketores is the test, as it were, right, of, you know, as Moshe says, V'yoda Hashem es asher lo, who is rightfully chosen and who is a fraud, an imposter. Right. So the ketores is always the litmus test. V'hine, ish Elohim bam Yehuda b'dvar Adonai al beis el, v'yiravam omed al hamizbeach laktir. High drama, right? Yeravam is literally extending his hand, holding the ketores, right? And the ish Elohim comes not from anywhere, but from Yehuda. Any thoughts about that? What is the significance of the fact that the Ish Elokim, he's unnamed, the Mefarshim tell us he's Ido Hanavi, but what is the significance of the fact that he comes not from just anywhere, but from Yehuda? I see Effie nodding sagaciously, so we'll maybe a clean sweep.
Let somebody else have a chance.
Look, you know, this is it's a meritocracy over here, you know. This is, go ahead.
I assume it's the Mikdash is, right?
There, so. Okay. Daniel Chazen. Where's Daniel Chazen? I'm scrolling down and looking for him.
My camera isn't working, so that's why you don't see me, but I'm listening.
Daniel, you know, Daniel's even more effective in the dark. Okay, excellent. So, right, so that's where the Beis HaMikdash is, and it's Daniel is suggesting very aptly, right, this is itself a rebuke, right? You can't, you know, cut off the Jewish people from the place which is really the repository for the Shechina. Excellent, Daniel. So, Vayikra la Mizbeach v'dvar Adonai v'yomer Mizbeach.
Mizbeach.
Yeah, that, I agree, right? He addresses not Yeravam, but he addresses the Mizbeach. Ko amar Adonai, hine ven nolad the Beis David. Right? Not yet, but at some point in the future. It's as if it, you know, is taking place now, but it's many centuries in the future. Hine ven nolad the Beis David, there will be a Sion, an offshoot of the house of David, Yoshiyahu Shemo, Vizavach Alecha as Kohanei HaBamos, tonight's year is, I think, rated R. So, and the Kohanim, these imposter Kohanim, will be slaughtered upon you, Hamaktir Malacha ve'atzmos Adam, and the bones, Yisrafu Alacha, will be burnt. This is a very ghoulish image. So he won't even address Yeravam directly, though, of course, everybody notes that he is certainly addressing himself to Yeravam. There's a little bit of Chilku Kavod the Malchus going on here, a little bit of respect for the king. So he didn't say, Yeravam, you will be sacrificed, but that is the message. In other words, that this outrage will not go unanswered, and this Mizbeach will go from being just an offense, an outrage in terms of, you know, non-Kohanim serving and outside of Yerushalayim, and that level of problem, but it will become a scene of great violence and divine vengeance. V'nasan b'yom ahu mofes le'mor, and I will give a sign on this day, zeha mofes asher dibir Adonai, hinei ha-mizbeach nikra, the mizbeach will be torn, v'nishpach ha-deshen asher alav, and all of the ashes that have gathered on the top of the mizbeach will literally fall to the ground. So there will be this splitting of the mizbeach, and everything will collapse downwards. Now, Effie, apropos your point before, anybody want to say what comes to mind in terms of this mofes, this great sign of the splitting and the, you know, the deshen tumbling?
Goes back to Korach again.
There it is.
The ground opening up and splitting and swallowing.
Exactly, right? So, Vahi Chishmo HaMelech HaStavar Isho Elohim. When Yeravam hears these ominous, dark tidings, Asher Karol HaMizbeach B'Veis El, that the prophet had spoken of the altar in Beit El, Vayishlach Yeravam Es Yado, and he literally extends his hand, the hand that's been, right, preparing the Ketorah, Esme'al Mizbeach Lemor, Tifsuhu, and he says, grab him! Right? He's so outraged. Vativash Yado, and his hand runs dry, okay, and is paralyzed. Asher Shalach Alav, Velo Yachol Hashiva Elav, and he's unable to bring his hand back, as if his hand is in a state of paralysis. Vehamizbeach Nikra, and indeed the altar rips apart. Vayishafe chadeshen min hamizbeach, and the ashes come from the top of the altar. Kamofes asher nasan ish Elohim bidvar Adonai. In accordance with the sign that was given. So now you have this thing. Yeravam, right? It's like this hand fully extended, and he can't bring it back. And the mizbeach that he labored to build or have built is now in ruin. And the question is, how is he going to respond? But before we get there, what is the significance, let's say, of this image of Velo Yachol LaHashiva Elav? He cannot pull his hand back. He can't pull it back. What might that imagery reflect? With you, from the words itself, Velo Yachol LaHashiva, what's the root, LaHashiva? What's the big question facing Yeravam now?
Tshuva.
Oh, who said that? Who said
Hashem
that?
Wants him to do tshuva, and he's not, he's giving him the chance to kind of make amends, and he didn't do that, and it's kind of, I think it's reflecting that, maybe.
Exactly. So, right, he sends the messenger, and instead of Yeravam sort of getting down from the Mizbeach, right, what he does is he stretches his hand, the same hand which is outstretched for the Ketores, now to kill the messenger, literally. And it's a sign that he's missed his opportunity, lashuv, to do repentance. So let's see what happens. Vayan Hamelech Vayomer Elisha Elohim, Chalnas Pnei Adonai Elohecha, beseech God, Chalnas Pnei Hashem Elokecha, V'hispalel Ba'adi, pray for me, V'sashov Yadi Eli, so that my hand shall return to me, Vayichal Ish HaElohim Es Pnei Adonai, the Ish Elokim was Vayichal, he beseeched God, Vatashov Yaramelech Elav Vatehi Kivarishona, and the hand was healed, and it was as before. Okay, so now we have to talk a little bit about this. Is there any earlier scene in Tanakh that we know of a person's hand turning and then... Okay, excellent. Ruthie, excellent. Yitzchak, very good. So we know that this is Moshe imagery. You know, there's another allusion to Moshe here, and then we'll see that really the whole thing is about Moshe. How is the Navi consistently referred to here? He's never given a name.
Ish Elokim.
Right. Who's the first and only person in the Chumash who's called the Ish Elokim? You guessed it. Vizos HaBracha, Asher Berach Moshe. Ish HaElokim, Espenei Yisrael. Who is the one, Vayechal blank, Espenei Hashem Elokav, after the Egel HaZahav?
Moshe again.
So it's as if
Moshe again.
Right, it's as if Moshe Rabbeinu is coming, right, to remonstrate with Yeravam. And Moshe says, and Yeravam says, Chalna, right, do it again. Vayechal Moshe Espenei Hashem Elokav, Vayomer Lama Hashem Yecharab Chav Yamech. And Moshe is willing to do it. And Yeravam could have turned back now, right? Because the hand is healed. Moshe knows about that himself, right? V'hinei shavaki v'saro. But instead, what does Yeravam do? V'yidaber hamelech al ish Elohim, boa iti habaita, come with me. Use'ada, so that we can have a su'uda, so that we can eat together. Ve'etna lecha matat, so that I can give you a reward. What's happening here? What's not happening here? What does this maybe remind us of in terms of a scene from earlier in Tanakh? The king says to the Navi, come with me and we'll have a meal.
Yael?
What's that?
Yael?
Okay, what's the Yael connection?
Well, come with me into a tent and I'll reward you. It's not...
Well, right,
that
right,
sister got.
Right, okay. Okay, but what?
About Saul and Samuel.
Excellent, Eva, right? So, right, Shaul, after he fails in a dramatic way, right, in terms of Amalek, what's he concerned about? Eva, take us through that scene. That what's what is it? Is it about the eating? Is that really the issue?
No, it's Saul has not killed Amalek, and Samuel is upset, and Saul is trying to make it up to him, and says, "Come with me." He wants Samuel to come with him to show that he's still, you know, king and important and everything, and Samuel won't go with him because he doesn't want to give Saul the honor of his presence.
Eva, you hit it exactly. It's status. It's not about food, right? It's status, right? Yeravam can show, even after this humiliation, this disgrace, his great project has split open. He's been publicly humiliated, the hand, but he can still show that indeed he's the Melech. If the man of God will come to his house as his honored guest, right, and he will give him a reward, it will, in a sense, be restorative of personal status. You hit the nail on the head. Let's just review those, you know, that section that Eva correctly identified as the relevant antecedent. Vayomer Shaul, this is the fourth source you have here, El Shmuel Chatasi, I've sinned. Ki avarti es pi Adonai, a different kind of sin, Amalek. V'estivaracha ki areses ha'am v'eshma b'kolam, I was afraid. Just as Yeravam, in a different sense, was afraid, right? He was afraid that the people would return and that there would be a reunification and that he would be the odd man out and all of these things. V'ata sana eschatasi, but forgive me, v'shuvi me, come back with me. And Shmuel says, lo ashuvi mach. Under no circumstances. Kima astas devar Adonai. V'yimascha Adonai mios melech al Yisrael. You've missed your chance to be the king. It's the same story. V'yisov Shmuel alachas, v'yachazek bichnaf mi'ilo, v'yikara. Right, that's the famous incident where Shaul grabs onto the cloak and the cloak rips, which is already a very critical image in terms of Yeravam as we remember and as we recall, right? Right, the idea of Yeravam even getting the kingdom from the ripped pieces. And this is the kind of background here. So what is the Ish HaElokim, the unnamed Ish HaElokim, the stand-in, as it were, for Moshe Rabbeinu? What does he say? Vayomer Ish HaElokim el HaMelech, Ib titein li es chatzi ve'secha. You can give me half of the kingdom. Which is interesting, right? Yeravam. Half of the kingdom. Lo avo imach v'lo ochal lechem v'lo eshtemayim b'makom hazeh. Under no circumstances will I eat, will I drink in this location, this idolatrous location. And it's not a matter of anything. You can't give me anything. Ki chen siva osib b'dvar Adonai limor lo sochal lechem v'lo eshtemayim v'lo sashuv b'derech asher halachta. A fascinating image. And the Navi says, and you cannot, and I've been told, not only can I not even drink here, but I can't return the way from whence I came. What about that addition? That he cannot go back. He cannot go back the path that he traveled. He must find an alternative route.
It's a reference to going back to Mitzrayim for the king.
Okay, good. Good. Let's build on that. What else might it be? Remember, in terms of that seems to be the theme here, Yeravam can't pull his hand back.
Moshe couldn't enter Eretz Yisrael, but I don't see how that hits.
Right. Okay. So, but Yeravam, right? V'lo tashuv b'derech asher halachta, there's no opportunity now for Yeravam has crossed his Rubicon. Three times he was given an opportunity when the Ish HaElokim came. And then after the Ish HaElokim prayed for him. And then finally when he says, right, instead of repenting, he says, oh, come with me back to my house as if nothing happened, and we'll have a meal together and I'll give you a prize. And so the Navi comes back on a different path. He's unable to return. It's very striking, in a very, you know, very, very, I think, powerful way, because it actually is a comment or an allusion to the parsha that we just read. Who was able to come back to Beit El, exactly to the place that he had been 20 years before, to fulfill his neder, to fulfill his promise?
Yaakov.
Right, Yaakov Avinu. Exactly, right? So it is always possible to get back to Beit El if a person really wants to serve God. And Yeravam was attempting to build off of that legacy of Beit El as the true place of God. But he can't return. Now, as I mentioned at the outset, this idea of the Yad Yeravam Vativash, that it's dried up. Let's just go back to the beginning of the Yeravam narrative. And we'll now see it from a different lens, a different vantage point altogether. The Yeravam bin Nevad Efrati, this is from chapter 11, verses 26 through 31. Min hatzreda v'shemimo tzrua ish almana eved d'shlamo v'yarem yad b'melech. He lifted up his hand against the king. V'zeh davar asher hirim yad b'melech. that he lifted up his hand against the king Shlomo, Banar Samilo, Sagaras Peretz Yir David Aviv, as we've spoken about now a number of times, that which David left open to facilitate and to allow the Ole Regalim, the pilgrims, to enter the city of Jerusalem, and Shlomo had sealed and closed in some kind of a building project for Bas Paro, Yeravam, with righteous indignation, Vayarem Yad Bamelech Shlomo, he raised up his hand in defense of God, in defense of Yerushalayim, in defense of the Jewish people, in defense of the Beis HaMikdash. Vayarem Yad, Asher Herim Yad, that hand has run dry. That hand has run dry. Vahi bo'esahi v'yiravam yatsa mi'Yerushalayim. When Yeravam left Yerushalayim, v'yimtso, so Achia Shiloni, the great Navi and leader of the generation, we've spoken about the imagery of the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that they too were alone. They were unmatched and unparalleled. And Achia Shiloni either took the cloak that he was wearing or that Yeravam was wearing, two different opinions in the Gemara. And he tore it, 12 kraim, into 12 distinct pieces. Vayomer li Yeravam kach lecha, take with your hand, of course, asara kiraim, 10 of the 12 pieces. Ki chomer Adonai Elohei Yisrael, hinini koreas hamamlecha miyad Shlomo, I am taking the kingdom from the hand, miyad, yad, yad, Shlomo, v'nasati lecha yis asara hashvat. Yeravam was meant righteously, he was Meirim Yad B'melech. His hand represented this idea of the sanctity of Yerushalayim and the Jewish people and their ability to access Yerushalayim. And that hand is now Yavesh. That hand has now run dry. What was once a symbol of righteousness has become a symbol of idolatry and selfishness and ego, which we, you know, discussed at such great length last week. And all of the intercession of he whom expiated the Jewish people from the first golden calf, Vaychal Moshe espenei Hashem Elokav, chalna espenei Hashem Elokacha, told tonight, isn't enough to inspire Yeravam on the path of tshuva, on the path of repentance, and as is captured by the imagery here of the Navi, he cannot go back on the path that he charted. Yeravam is a missed opportunity. When Shlomo betrayed his father, when Shlomo betrayed the Jewish people, when Shlomo betrayed Yerushalayim and the Mikdash, Yeravam had an opportunity to take with his hand 10 pieces, Miyad Shlomo, from the hand of Shlomo. But instead, when that hand became stretched in an offering of a kitores zara, a foreign kitores, right? His fate became the fate of Korach. He became an imposter. As the earth opened to swallow, so the Mizbeach opened, and all came tumbling off. And Yeravam, right, loses his opportunity to lead the Jewish people. Now, there's more to say, as we'll get to. There's plenty more to the story in the house of Yeravam. But this was the moment where Yeravam could have done tshuva. Just as Moshe, very, very early on, when his hand, it becomes Neyado Mitzoras Kashaleg, and God tells him, put your hand back. Hashev na yercha bechekecha vayashev yado becheko veyotziyah v'nei shava kivsaro shav, 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 it returned. Right? He could have. Yeravam could have still changed course. But this was the Rubicon.
Well, Rabbi, is this not an acknowledgement that Yerovam still got the 10 pieces? You know, even though maybe his hand was not in good shape, but I mean, metaphorically, he's got 10 tribes.
Not for long. Excellent, Sam, but not for long, because what's going to happen is that Yerovam, instead of being able to take advantage of the opportunity that was given him, from here, Yerovam is, in a certain sense, a dead man walking. He's lost his opportunity to do something positive and constructive with those 10 pieces. Right. Now, there's going to be an interesting sort of interlude that we will see. Very fascinating. What happens with this Ish HaElokim? And then we'll return to the Yerovam story. The Ish HaElokim himself gets off track in a very fascinating way. But Yerovam, from this point on, Velo Shav, he was given the opportunity. He didn't recognize how critical a moment it was for him, how fleeting the opportunity would be. And from this point on, the question is, what's going to happen, Sam, as you indicate, what's going to happen with those 10 pieces? What will happen with those 10 pieces?
What was the reference to Yoshiyahu about?
So the Ish HaElokim says, not today, not tomorrow. But
that's
if you
way down the line.
Way 300 years down the line. But what he's really telling him is, don't think for a second that throwing up obstacles between the Jewish people and Yerushalayim is going to have the desired effect. Because the house of David is coming back. And you're going to be destroyed. So Yerovam, again, great potential. Hayrim Yad B'Melech Shlomo, he was in the right direction. We spoke about last week, you know, how that becomes the archetype of HaKavod, Kina type of HaKavod, HaKavod, Motzina Sada Mina Olam. We spoke about the Tosfos Yantif. Tosfos Yantif said, yeah, that's Yerovam. Kavod destroyed him. He could have been somebody critical. And this is what happened.
It was destroyed by Kavod?
The ego is very powerful. And I just want to remind people of the passage we saw last week from the Gemara, where the Gemara tells us that the Yerovam was essentially offered by God, return, and you, me and David will go into Gan Eden, and Yerovam asked, well, who's going to be first? Mi Varosh. And he says, Ben Yishai. He says, David is first. And the response is, Im Kain, Lo Ba'ina. Yerovam says, then I'm not interested. And that becomes very much the last opportunity. Now, where the chips fall, that we have to look at, because it's going to be complex, and then we have to talk about the transition of the Malchus from the house of Yerovam to another potential steward, also with potential, the house of Omri, as we'll discuss, and what that might have been, what that could have been, the different things that have to... So first the Ish HaElokim, then the rest of the Yerovam narrative, the end of the Yerovam narrative, which is a winding tale, and then the emergence of the house of Omri and their great antagonist, which is, of course, Eliyahu HaNavi. Go ahead. Yeah, Ruthie.
No, I was going to ask you, is Eliyahu also referred to as Ish HaElokim?
Good. Okay. So Eliyahu HaNavi is going to emerge. Very good. Okay. Much to discuss there. The parallels between Eliyahu and Moshe Rabbeinu are overwhelming. But we have a little bit a little bit to go before Eliyahu, before that narrative. Okay. I want to wish everybody a wonderful night, and thank you so much, everybody, for their flexibility, which is greatly, greatly appreciated, greatly appreciated. And so we didn't have to miss a week. And God willing, we shall pick it up there at the regular time a week from tomorrow night. That is a week from tomorrow night, the 19th of December. Okay. Have a good night, everybody.
Waiting with lips for it. Mm-hmm. I hope that'll be next week.
Okay, but so we're gonna that we will absolutely discuss that. This is a critical section, indeed.
Thank you.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye, thank you.